Do you love Yankee baseball? If so, this is the show for you. Welcome to Pinstripe Talk with your host, Nick Delahanty. Welcome to another edition of the Pinstripe Talk podcast. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. Just when we thought the Yankees might be out of the division race, the Red Sox start to struggle a little bit. Yankees seem to be getting on track in terms of beating up on the teams that they should beat up on. And you look at the standings, Yankees are only 7 out heading into Sunday's action, which isn't terrible, which is a amount of games that could be caught. You know, we've seen crazier things happen, and baseball is a game that you never know what to expect. And if the Yankees continue to play well, combined with a little bit of a Red Sox struggle, anything is possible. And let's remember, Red Sox 90 wins already on their win-loss record. They've been unreal this year. But as we all know, every good team seems to falter a little bit. And let's not forget, Yankees do have 6 more games with the Red Sox. So if you look at things in the perspective, there's a lot of room for the Yankees to catch up in this division race. It's going to be hard, definitely. You know, can't take anything away from the Red Sox. They're a very good baseball team. But do the Yankees have what it takes to do it? I personally think so. I think when you get some of these guys back, like Gregorius eventually, Sanchez, hopefully Aaron Judge, it's looking more like Judge will be back toward the end of September. You know, you start to get healthy and you start to put the pieces together, and hopefully this Yankee team will click at the right time right before the postseason, regardless of where they finish. You know, recently, if you've watched these Yankee games, they've been playing very loose. It's been a fun atmosphere. It kind of reminds you about that 2017 team, you know, how they had a great chemistry and it seemed like they had fun every given day. That's what the Yankees need. And that's what it looks like they're finally getting back to, which is nice to watch. You know, they're playing loose. And when you play loose and you're enjoying yourself, it makes the game a lot easier, especially in the dog days of August as we head toward the final month of the regular season. Let's take a look at some of the team's recent games. Let's all remember they went to Miami for an interleague matchup with the Marlins. And yes, you go into that series and you say, the Derek Jeter rebuilding Marlins. And you expect to win both those games. However, Yankees go in there, and they win game one, which was a kind of crazy game to begin with. And you sit back, you watch this game. Tanaka pitched well. Really didn't give him much to work with. Got a no decision in that game. Boone elected to take him out after 82 pitches, go to the bullpen. When you have a strong bullpen, you're not worried about how long your starter goes if they could give you depth. Especially in the National League when you need pitch hitters and stuff. So for that reason, can't blame Boone at all for going to the pen. Britton did his job. Betances has been unreal. He did his job. Green as well. You know, you look at the way the bullpen was in that game, and they all did their job. Yeah, Chapman was hurt, and that knee is a big issue. Chapman now in the DL. But that was an injury that we've known for about a while now, probably since about June or July, I would say, with the knee tendonitis. So, a cause of concern. Hopefully, Chapman's able to come back healthy. Yankees do need him. As strong as your bullpen is, it's even stronger with him at the back end of the bullpen. Yankees were finally able to win that game in the 12th, able to score a run late in that ball game. You know, just in a situation like that when you're in the National League, you never want to go into extra innings, especially given that you play the next day. The Yankees were able to take care of business and win that game 2-1. Then you go to the next night, and this is the game that really scratched a lot of heads. And it started with Lance Lynn. You know, Lynn in his last 2 starts has really not been that great. And we'll get more into Lynn in a little bit. Another tough outing. He did go into the 6th inning. Allowed 5 runs. Game was kind of close at that point. You know, you're sitting at when he left the game, it was still 5-1 or 5-2 correction. Then everything seemed to hit the fan. And what I mean by that is Canley was able to get out of the jam that Lynn got himself into. You know, Lynn had 5 strong innings before that 6th. 1 out, and the Marlins were able to score a 5 spot on him. And from the look of things, it really ruins a start for a pitcher. And you look at the line, it changes the whole dynamic of what you're looking at. Because if you didn't watch the game, and you're looking at his line, you're saying, hey, you know what, he pitched okay. A lot of runs earned. But it was really that gray spot in the 6th inning that really didn't help get the job done. And one inning could really hurt you. And we've seen that a lot of times all season where one inning just completely tarnishes your whole start. But then you get into the 7th inning. And in that game, if you don't recall, the Yankees called up Chance Adams to be another arm out of the bullpen. And I believe the idea around that, and it ended up being, was that Adams was going to be with the team for one day, provide insurance out of the bullpen in case they needed extra length. You know, after a 12-inning game, you always look for an extra arm. And that next day, they had not only a day off, but they were going to recall Sabathia off the DL. Adams pitched well in his first inning, let up one run. But then I feel like Boone, trying to get a little more length out of him, kept him in a little too long. And I'm one of those people that will say, if you follow me on Twitter or whatnot, you know, I would have did this in this situation, I would have did that. But it's human nature to do that, especially if you're a diehard baseball fan like a lot of us are. You know, you like to second guess, you like to question the manager, and sometimes you scratch your head at what they're doing and you wonder, why is he doing this? Why is he doing that? However, if I put a group of people, say 10 people with baseball knowledge, into a room, and I mapped out a situation for them, and I said, okay, you're in this situation, this guy on, how many outs, this is the score. I guarantee you that at least 8 or 9 to 10 people are going to have a different way they handle things. And Boone is a guy that has received a lot of criticism for the way he's managed the bullpen this year. And some of it is his fault. You know, but when you're a manager, you put your guys in situations that you feel they're going to succeed. And for Boone, I hate to throw the blame on him, but I do like to blame the guys that do come into the game. Because at that point, you have to step up to the challenge and embrace your role. We heard a little bit earlier in the year, Chad Green kind of questioned his role and said, you know what, I'm not really comfortable with this role. I really prefer the other way I was being used. That's the kind of thing that concerns me. You know, Boone, yes, take it as it is. First year manager. I do feel that he's going to get better as he goes along. But I still think he's working out the kinks and he's trying to figure out what works. And Rome wasn't built overnight. Let's all remember that. So when Boone's making his bullpen decisions, we kind of have to give him a little bit of support with that. Yes, everything's not going to work out. It's not going to be happy-go-lucky no matter what happens. But I do feel like he receives a lot of criticism for things that are out of his and Larry Rothschild's control, especially with the bullpen. Let's face it, 162 games, not a lot of days off. You're trying not to overwork your guys, especially with a guy like David Robertson dealing with a shoulder injury. You're without Chapman. So you're trying to mix and match and see what can work. And ideally, you're hoping that Adams could close that game and pitch the final couple of innings, the last two, because the Yankees ended up losing that game, to kind of save the rest of the bullpen, give them that extra day before an off day, so you have a long series with the Orioles coming up, you could kind of rest them. However, it didn't work. The Yankees ended up getting blown out. And a lot of the criticism I feel is because of who they were playing against. You know, a Marlins team where, if you look at their lineup, other than Starlin Castro, most common fans could probably only name 3 of their starters. And that's being generous with JT Realmuto, Castro, and then maybe Dietrich. Other than that, they had a AAA lineup out there. So when you sit and you read Twitter and you see all the comments about Boone, it all stems from the fact of this. The Yankees have had trouble beating some bad teams this year. And we all know this, and we all know that's why they're behind in the division. That and the fact that the Red Sox are playing amazing baseball and have just over-exceeded expectations thus far. So when you're watching and you see Boone going to the bullpen, let's wait it out. Let's see what's going to happen. And I erred on the side of caution with Yankee fans. It's a long season. And yes, I'm one of those people that criticizes Boone for what he's done with the pen, how they decide to handle it. But let's hope that he works out the kinks and makes sure he knows what works best come October. And that's what really matters. I think by then, he'll have a good grasp of what he wants to do with his bullpen, and it'll be a lot smoother. But until then, I think that Boone's really experimenting and trying to see if he can mix and match, especially with a lot of guys out. You have a lot of opportunities to see what guys can do and see what works best for your ball club. And quite honestly, I think that overall Boone's done a nice job, especially with all the injuries that he's dealt with. You know, if you were sitting at opening day and somebody looked at you and said, come August, the Yankees were going to be without Gregorius, Judge, Sanchez, Chapman, Montgomery, just to name a few. And they were going to have guys like Luke Voit and Shane Robinson and AJ Cole coming out of the bullpen and Neil Walker playing every day. You probably would have said, this Yankee team's not going to go too far. However, they have continued to win games and have continued to prove that they are a playoff caliber team. And let's just hope that they're able to gel together and get healthy so that Boone has the entire arsenal that he could work with down the stretch. So we'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll take a look at the Yankees series with the Orioles, the Players Weekend. We'll also discuss the brewing controversy with the Yankees first baseman, who should get the majority of the reps at the position. All this and more on the Pinstripe Talk podcast, here on iTunes Podcast Radio. We hope that you are enjoying the Pinstripe Talk podcast. If you have something to say or would like to comment on something that you heard on our show, please feel free to contact us via social media. You could contact our host, Nick Delahanty, on Twitter by tweeting at Nick_Delahanty, or you could send us an email, pinstripetalk@gmail.com. Welcome back to another edition of the Pinstripe Talk podcast. As always, I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. Before we get back into the Yankee talk, just a reminder that you can follow us on social media, on Twitter, at PinstripeTalkND. You can also follow my personal account, at Nick_Delahanty. Feel free to email us comments or questions that you would like to have answered on the show, PinstripeTalk@gmail.com. Make sure you're subscribing and rating our show on iTunes. Also, you could catch our show on Simplecast, Spotify, and TuneIn Radio. So there's a lot of ways you could listen to our show. We hope that you tune in, share it with a friend, and let's continue to talk some Yankee baseball. Before the break, we talked about the Yankee series with the Marlins. You know, it was a up and down type of series. Yankees lose another player due to injury in Chapman. Yankees get out of Miami with a split. They get a day off. Big four-game series with the Orioles. They're still going. Players weekend. You know, getting onto the topic of the players weekend, I've heard a lot of talk about how the players like it. You know, they're wearing jerseys with their nicknames on it. A lot of guys having fun with it. It's a nice way to get the fans involved. You know, we're so used to the traditional regular jerseys, some teams with the names and numbers, some teams like the Yankees, just the pinstripes with the numbers, you know, no names. I feel like it's a way for the fans to get to know the players a little bit better. And by showing their personality a little bit, by their nicknames, and you get some backstories on why they're wearing the nickname or how it came about. So I feel like it's a way for the players to connect, especially with the younger fan group, and it's a way to entice people to like the game because, let's face it, a lot of these guys have great personalities and they're able to be showcased throughout this weekend. So for me, it's a fun, exciting weekend. I do, however, can't wait to see the Yankees back in their pinstripe uniforms because I personally think that they're the best uniforms in the entire sport. And I believe in all the sports in general. But for a couple of days, I can live with it. And I enjoy and I embrace. And I like to read the backstories about the different nicknames and how the players enjoy it. If you want any tale or any kind of idea as to how the players are enjoying this weekend, just watch Yankees and watch Didi Gregorius in the dugout. If you go on MLB's Twitter account, the Yankees Twitter account, you'll see Gregorius sitting in the dugout. He had a couple of kind of emoji faces hanging in the dugout. A good play. He was showing a smiley face and he was having a lot of fun. You know, that's what you like to see. Like we said before, it's a long season and these guys are human beings too. So for them to get a chance to unwind a little, have a little fun with it, I think it makes everybody enjoy the process a little bit more, especially with a tough month of September coming up for the Yankees. Now, Yankees played the Orioles in their Players Weekend series, and it's a big four-game series for the Yankees. You know, the Orioles are a team that, although they are like a minor league team right now, they have given the Yankees their problems this year, especially the American League East, the bottom dwellers of the division. You know, Tampa's been playing better than they were anticipated to. They made a lot of moves before the deadline, and they still find ways to win games. Toronto's given the Yankees problems. They're another team that's in a rebuild, and same thing with the Orioles. Now, Yankees go into that series. They win the first game, and it comes from two unlikely heroes. Luke Voit, who many people didn't want up in the big leagues, hits two home runs in the game, and Neil Walker adds another home run. One of Voit's home runs and Walker's came in the 10th inning off Cody Carroll, who the Yankees traded to the Orioles for Zach Britton. And right there and then, Voit started the first base controversy, and we'll get into that in a little bit. This team, I feel, has some unsung heroes. You know, when you look at the Yankees opening day roster, you could point to Gregorius, Judge, Sanchez, Stanton. Those guys were the ones that many people felt were going to be the guys this year. However, watching this Yankee team, you get a lot of new heroes that weren't expected to be heroes. You know, Brett Gardner's underrated. He appears to show up a lot of time when the Yankees need him the most. Neil Walker, a lot of people wanted him designated for assignment early in the year. Didn't look like he had room on this team. He's been scorching hot in August. He's been an asset to the team. You look at guys like Gleyber Torres and Miguel Andujar, rookies who maybe weren't expected to impact right away, but have really been lights out. Yeah, Torres has struggled a little bit in the second half since he was injured. However, he's been picking it up lately and has been a really nice asset for the Yankees up the middle with Gregorius. Especially now with Gregorius out, Torres has now been playing shortstop and has been doing a decent job at that. So you look at this team and there's a lot of guys that really have stepped up to the challenge and have really helped this team win ballgames. You know, you can't even underestimate what Aaron Hicks has done. Hicks might be one of the best center fielders in the game right now, defensively and with his offensive power. 20 home runs for Hicks. Hicks, for me, before the season, I would have said was maybe a 15 to 18 homer guy. You know, gives you a decent batting average, probably hits at the bottom of the order. But Hicks has done almost everything this Yankee team has asked him to do and more. So when you look at this team, there's a lot of different pieces that have gelled and have done their job. In that specific game, Sabathia came off the DL, threw six strong innings, turned into the bullpen. Robertson was okay in his return, allowed two unearned runs. Betances, we keep saying how great he's been. And then Green was able to get the win, and Britton closed it against his former team, which was ironic for him, and he did say how weird it was for him to pitch against them. So for me, looking at that game, that was a great start to the series, especially with the doubleheader coming up that next day. And that doubleheader was huge because not only were the Yankees able to get one win, but they were able to get two. And when you do a doubleheader, you really want to get both ends of it, especially with the Red Sox struggling and you hate to scoreboard watch. But you want to win both games, especially against a team that you're better than. The 37-win Orioles should not take games from you, especially when you know, even though your lineup's a little depleted, you're a better ball club. And the Yankees were able to have an offensive explosion in Game 1 to really set the tone. Scored 10 runs, gave J.A. Happ plenty of run support. The thing I want to talk about in this game, and yeah, you could talk about how the rookies both had homers in Andujar and Torres, was the pitching. Prior to the game, Yankees called up Luis Sessa as the quote-unquote 26th man. Now, when they made that move, which I expected Tyler Wade to be called up, I'm not going to lie, I thought that was insurance for Sonny Gray in Game 2. However, Happ goes 6 innings, pitch count over 100, and Aaron Boone turns the game to Sessa, who, in turn, ended up closing the game. Went the next 3 innings, allowed a run, but was relatively solid when he attacked the strike zone. So I'm sitting after Game 1, I'm saying, man, Yankees blew out Game 1. What happens if Sonny Gray struggles in Game 2? The Yankees announced that Gray was going to have about a 75 to 80 pitch count limit in the game. So, ideally, having watched Gray's starts for the most part, I'm thinking 3, maybe 4 innings out of Gray. Now, Sonny Gray has been lights out against the Orioles and was great against them again. Gray goes into the 7th inning, which I never expected, allowing just 3 hits, no earned runs, struck out 7. That's the Sonny Gray we have all been looking for. And it's crazy how this guy, who has ace-quality stuff, can't seem to figure it out unless it's against the Orioles. 5 starts against the Orioles in 2018, he's 4-1 with a 3.67 ERA. Against opponents with a under 500 record, Gray's 9-3 with a 4.2 ERA. Against teams with a 500 plus winning percentage, 1-5 with a 7.24 ERA. Gray has been good against the bad teams and bad against the good teams. After his performance in Game 2, and a game the Yankees ended up winning 5-1, another big win for them, a lot of people started questioning if it was time that Gray maybe gets a start back in the rotation, being that Lynn has struggled. You look at Lynn's last 2 starts. 9 innings, 15 hits, 10 runs. Hasn't really been great since his first 2 outings where he was very good. Gray, after his performance, told reporters, and this is the quote that Gray said, quote unquote, "If I can go out and throw the ball like that, I think I could get anybody out. I know that I could get anybody out. I mean, I'm one of the best starting pitchers in the league, and I truly believe that." Now, a lot of people gave him grief for that, for saying that, those lines. However, I would have been concerned if he said anything other than that. As an athlete, you don't go out there and think, man, you know, I'm not really that good, so I'm better off in a bullpen role where I pitch in garbage time, maybe we're up 7 runs or we're down 7 runs. I give coach 2 or 3 innings here, 4 to 5 innings there when they need me. If he had that mentality, I would be very concerned. However, by his comments, I see the confidence is still there. And that he still believes that he can be the starting pitcher that he was with the Oakland A's. Yeah, we say it all the time. Maybe a change of scenery will be good for Gray. Maybe the confidence was down. However, this guy is just not even a year and a half off of being one of the better starting pitchers in the league. Can Sonny Gray figure it out? Because if so, that helps the Yankees tremendously. Yankee fans should be hoping that Gray is able to figure it out and that Gray is able to return to that dominant starter type of role that they envisioned when they made the trade. It hasn't worked out yet. But eventually, I do think that the Yankees are going to give him another start down the stretch, especially if Lynn continues to struggle. I think it's very possible come September that those two could possibly flop in the rotation, switch out, or you could see Gray make a spot start here or there to kind of give the Yankees a little more rest in their rotation, or possibly even help them set up the rotation in case they have to play in the wild card game. There's a lot of different possibilities, but I do think that Sonny Gray is going to play a big role in September. He might very well get left off the postseason roster, but he's a guy that I feel might have an impact. And if he could figure it out in September, it's going to be a great help for the Yankees. And Yankee Nation should really be hoping that Sonny Gray returns to being the actual Sonny Gray that we know he can be. Because we've seen it in spots here and there where he's been lights out. And we've seen it at times where we're begging for Aaron Boone to take him out of the game. Yankee fans and the Yankees organization has to be hopeful that Sonny Gray can get back on track. If not for the long haul, at least for the postseason stretch. Because they can really use that coming either out of the rotation or out of the bullpen, whichever role that Gray fulfills. Hopefully he's taking his time in the bullpen to talk to some of the guys down there about their mentality, possibly about being a relief pitcher or just attacking the zone. Because that can also help as well. You know, you have a lot of veteran guys down there that have been highly successful in their careers. There's a lot of things that play into Sonny Gray and his struggles. And hopefully when he takes the mound, he has that same confidence he had when he was talking to the reporters that he has the ability to get anybody out. It's a matter of whether or not he's able to execute the way we know that he can and the way that he knows that he can. We'll take one more break. When we come back, we'll look at the brewing controversy at first base for the Yankees, and we'll also discuss some possible September call-ups for the Bronx Bombers. All this and more coming up on the Pinstripe Talk podcast. Here on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, and Simplecast. Hey everyone, this is Nick Delahanty, host of Pinstripe Talk Podcast. Reminder that we are located now on Apple Podcasts. Make sure you go to iTunes and subscribe to our show, and feel free to also rate and comment about our show. Feel free to leave us some comments by hitting us up on social media, on Twitter, at Pinstripe Talk ND, or you can tweet me at my personal account at Nick_Delahanty. We are back on the Pinstripe Talk podcast. A reminder to everybody, my name is Nick Delahanty. I am currently a writer for the Bronx Pinstripe team. Again, I feel that Bronx Pinstripe team is one of the best out there. Make sure you give us a follow at Bronx Pinstripes on Twitter. A lot of great writers. A lot of great people over there do a lot of great things in terms of stadium get-togethers and go to games, and there's a lot of different things that go on, and you should definitely check it out. If you're not, it's a must-follow for all Yankee fans, and I firmly believe that, and it's a great thing to be a part of that team, and I'm privileged to be able to write for them and be able to express my opinions about everything that goes on with the New York Yankees. And that's kind of what I do here as well, you know. On that spectrum, I get to do my writing and I get to stay active in that aspect. But here, my voice gets to be heard. And I appreciate everybody who takes some time to listen into the podcast. You know, I try to get one in every couple of days. As everybody knows, life is crazy. So I'm going to try my best to keep it going as much as I can. Hopefully, I can keep a regular schedule in terms of the show. And I hope that everybody continues to listen in. Because I do, as I mentioned, truly and utterly appreciate all the support I've been getting about this. Now, Yankees first baseman controversy. And at the beginning of the year, I would have said, you know, Tyler Austin battling for the first baseman job, possibly a platoon if Bird struggles against left-handers. However, Austin has moved on to greater pastures and is with the Twins as he was traded before the deadline. Yankees are left with Luke Voit and Greg Bird. Bird has been atrocious, as we know. In the Baltimore series, he was getting booed in Baltimore. A big Yankee crowd there. He's been struggling, and there doesn't seem like there's any pattern that Bird is going to get back on track. Last episode, we mentioned how he hit the two home runs against the Blue Jays. One was a garbage time home run. One was a monster grand slam. However, Bird has not done anything since, leaving room for Voit to kind of step in and get an opportunity. You know, Voit comes up. His last seven games is 5-for-10. The two home runs against the Orioles that we mentioned earlier. It seems like the hot hand right now is Luke Voit. Let's compare the three for a minute. Austin has played in 11 games for the Twins so far. In those 11 games, he's hitting .316 with four home runs. Like I just mentioned, Voit over his last seven is 5 for his last 10. And Greg Bird over his last seven is 1 for 18. That one is that home run against the Blue Jays, the Grand Slam. Right now, I think it's simple. You have to play the hot hand. Until Voit proves otherwise, I think that he has to get the majority of the starts at first base. The Yankees are going to have to go with a platoon here, as we already know. But right now, it seems that Voit is the best fit. Yeah, you might get a Neil Walker day here and there. Walker's been used in other spots, however, so it's likely that it's going to be either Voit or Bird. And it's possible that the Yankees can bring up maybe a Ryan McBroom as a September call-up. But right now, Voit's got to be the guy until Bird can prove that he's ready to be the guy that everybody expected him to be. Now, as we look towards September, the rosters expand to 40-man rosters. And in case you're not aware, September 1st, Major League teams are allowed to call up as many guys as they would like from their 40-man roster to join the big league club. And those guys are able to play in September games, which is a nice way for teams to kind of add some extra pitching, add a little depth on the bench, maybe add a guy who's been up and down who can help your team. It's a nice thing that Major League Baseball does to expand the rosters before the playoff stretch. And for the Yankees, there's a couple of guys that might end up making an impact. The two that come to mind are Justice Sheffield and Chance Adams. Two starters in the minor leagues who the Yankees have now moved to the bullpen in anticipation for fulfilling a role in the bullpen come September. Personally, I feel that Justice Sheffield has a chance to make the postseason roster if he shows that he could pitch successfully in the bullpen. He might be called upon to be a type of long man out of the pen, or maybe even a lefty specialist if they need him to be. I think the ceiling is very high for Sheffield. I feel the Yankees think the same thing. And if he shows that he's able to handle the bright lights in September, I think the Yankees will have no problem having him on the roster come October. And Adams is a guy we've seen a little bit. You know, made a start in the big leagues against the Red Sox, did a solid job, pitched in the bullpen against the Marlins. Struggled a little bit, but it was okay. Those guys are two that I feel can make a lasting impact come September. And then you look at a Luis Sessa who will be up, I would say, 95% chance of that. Yankees are going to add pitching to help with their depth, and they're hoping that they're able to get healthy. You know, hopefully, maybe you get a Clint Frazier back, and he could play in the outfield a little bit. Maybe a guy like Domingo German gets back off of his rehab stint, and they bring him up. Same thing with Jonathan Loaisiga, two guys who have been hurt, but are on the 40-man who might be able to contribute down the stretch, maybe out of a bullpen role. You see a guy like Tyler Wade come up, a versatile infielder. He'll likely get the call. He's already on the 40-man. When Sanchez returns, you'll see them keep up Kyle Higashioka. Maybe you see them make a move to add a guy like George Contos to the 40-man roster, or maybe Giovanni Urshela, who they called up, or who they traded for, excuse me, who is another infielder who can add some depth off the bench. The Yankees have a possibility to help themselves, and they have the pieces to do it. So September call-ups for them is definitely a benefit. And if they play their cards right, they'll have some guys that can ultimately play some big, play in some big moments down the stretch, or pitch in big moments down the stretch. Especially with all the injuries, as the time goes on, you hope to see the Chapmans and the Gregoriuses and the Sanchez and Judge rejoin the roster. But until then, the Yankees could use all the depth that they have. And that's a benefit for having one of the stronger minor league systems in the game. Because come September, when the roster expands, you have the capability of utilizing your roster more than just 25 guys on your active roster. That's going to do it for this episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast. As always, remember to subscribe, rate, and comment on iTunes. We appreciate all the feedback that you provided already. We hope that you could, if you haven't already, you do provide your own feedback. Follow us on Twitter at Pinstripe Talk ND, my own account at Nick_Delahanty, or shoot us an email, pinstripetalk@gmail.com. You could also find us on TuneIn Radio, Spotify, and Simplecast. As always, we appreciate your listening, taking the time out, talk some Yankee baseball with us as the September month comes closer. Summer's almost over. Hopefully the Yankees are in for some long postseason baseball. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty, signing off on this episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast. As always, let's go Yanks!